Good to be here tonight. I ask that you turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to be talking about working together. Working together. Working together side by side. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that look like? As the people of God, I want us to consider Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 19 through the end of the chapter. We're going to look at two individuals, and as we look at these two individuals, we'll make a few comments. Let's get the discussion started, and let's see what we can glean from these great men and see how we can better work together as God's people. Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state, your condition. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministers to my need, since he was longing for you. He was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men as in esteem, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." When we think about these two men, great character, great men of God, men who truly love the Lord, they love the work of the church, they love the Apostle Paul, they love the brethren, especially here at Philippi. And so when we consider some of these things, I want us to take notice of a few passages before we delve into this text and look at some of the things that I believe will help us. Turn your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And let's look at Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Scott, if you don't mind, I want you to read Psalm 133.
"Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore."
Notice the fellowship that we see in these passages. The illustration that the Old Testament gives us worthy of our consideration. Number one, we see the illustration in verse number one. "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to remain or dwell together in unity for a common purpose." And then he gives the illustration here. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard, the beard of Aaron. How close is the anointing, is the oil and the beard? How close is that? Is that direct contact? That's direct contact. How about the dew that is upon a mountain? Is that direct contact? That's direct contact. When we consider the fellowship that brethren should have, it should be direct contact. It should be that close that they're working together. So here we see these figures of speech being used, these metaphors. demonstrating the type of fellowship that the Bible demonstrates that comes down from God, that we ought to have one with another, one with another. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Hebrews 13 verse 1, very short passage, yet powerful in its meaning. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. And so when we consider the fellowship that God's people are supposed to have, and we consider the love that should continue with the brethren, it makes sense when we consider Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. So let's go back there, and I want us to consider some things about working side by side. What does that look like? Well, here we have Timothy. Timothy is used as an object lesson for the people of God at Philippi. We know that Timothy was a young man. His father was Greek. His mother and grandmother were very faithful to the Lord. They taught him the word of the Lord. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 3, verse number 14, I believe it is, and 15, the Bible says that he had learned the Holy Scriptures from a child. And so he was exposed to the word of God. And the very fact that he was exposed to the word of God ought to demonstrate to us that it is important for us to expose our children to the word of God early in life. And so the mother was, the grandmother was dedicated. The mother was dedicated. And even though it doesn't seem like the father was in the picture, we do know that the mother and grandmother were. But his father was a Greek. We'll leave it at that. But notice what Paul says in verse number 20 about Timothy. He says, "For I have no one like-minded." Literally, he had no one who was of the same soul, one that saw things the way that he saw things. You look that up in the original language, and it's very intimate. So here, I find no one like-minded like Timothy. Here's this young man. He is his son in the faith. They're working together, been on missionary journeys together, just working side by side. And so here we see that Paul says, "I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your condition, your state." But look at verse 21. Verse 21, we see that Paul says something that's very interesting. "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Remember in Philippians 2 and verse 4, look at Philippians 2 and verse 4. Philippians 2 and verse 4, Paul said, "For all seek their own." All seek their own. Well, it's nothing wrong with seeking your own. But it can't remain that way. Look at verse 4. "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also" what? "Others." So there's nothing wrong with looking out for your interest. But it is if it's only your interest. God wants us to look out for the interest of others. If brethren are going to work side by side, we have to have the attitude and the mentality that I'm not looking out for my interest only, but I'm looking out for the interest of my brother, my sister, yea, the church. And so Paul says, "I have no one," again, verse number 20, "like-minded." Literally, one that is equal in soul, a similar spirit, the same mentality as it relates to the church of Philippi. But verse 22, "but you know his proven character." Paul says that Timothy has been proven. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse number 21, "Lay your hand on no man" what? "Suddenly." Suddenly. And so Paul says Timothy's character is proven, meaning that it has been scrutinized. It has been put to test. It has been put under the fire, the microscope, and he has passed the test. We see that same language in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through verse number 11. And notice what he says, that "as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel," side by side. They work together, side by side, side by side. Okay? Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. To work side by side with a man such as Timothy was a blessing. Why? Because he had the same mindset, a similar attitude, a similar spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 2, he would call Timothy his fellow worker. Now, we're going to capitalize on that here in a few minutes. Okay? We're going to capitalize on that here in a few minutes. So let's ask ourselves a question. When we consider working together side by side, how important is it for me, to be one that can be worthy of trust to work side by side with? How important is that? Why? Okay, good. All right, good. Anyone else? Tobias? Because the house divided cannot stand. All right. Anyone else? How important is it? Yes.
I think it's ants. They can hold so much weight on their own, but a bunch of them can hold numerous amounts more than their added weight should be. That makes sense.
Yes. Great, yes.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, well, verses 3 and 4, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So we're all working together as soldiers. If the soldier's looking out for only his interests, everyone else falls.
That's right. Good.
People's souls are at stake.
That's right. That's right, Olivia.
Well, 1 Corinthians itself is a division, and then 1 Corinthians 1:10, now it would be greater by the name of God, which is Christ.
That's right.
You all see the same thing, that there is, divisions among you, but that you can perfectly join together and say goodbye.
Good. Doc Hall.
When you look the first time Paul went through Lystra, what happened to him? Near to death.
That's right.
Timothy was about, if you study chronology, about age 16 then. Paul goes on his missionary journey. He saw Paul get up from there.
That's right.
Paul came back around the second time. He picks up a young man named Timothy.
That's right.
About age 21 then. So he sees Paul get back up. He says he not quit. He sees him come back. And so folks say those things in Timothy. He's going to get back up. He's not going to quit. He's going to get up and go.
That's right. Excellent point. Yes, sir.
Side by side means they have one thing in common.
That's good. Yes, and then yes.
It's part of our job to fulfill one of our missions.
All right, good. To Brother Ditmore's point, can two walk together except they be in agreement, right? Sister Bonner and then Jamie. All right. That's good. Jamie?
Found the verse I was thinking of to prove my point. Ecclesiastes 4,
that's right.
9, and 12.
Yes. I was just there. I was going to read that. All right. Let me read that for Jamie. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one. Remember the point I made this morning about isolation? Brethren, it's not good to be isolated. It's not good to be isolated. We need each other. you isolate yourself, you'll find yourself in trouble. And you go to the book of Proverbs, and it tells you something about isolated people. Isolated people, that's not good. Be careful if you're isolating yourself. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is what, friends? By himself. When you fall and you're by yourself, that's a problem there. For he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so God wants us to work together. When Jesus sent his disciples out, he sent them out what, friends? Two by two. He sent them out two by two. It's a great lesson in there for us. Great lesson. God doesn't want us to be alone. He wants us to have camaraderie. He wants us to have that mutual friendship. And it should remind us of Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28 through 30, when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Here's the point we want to make. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn. When you think of yoking oxen together, what's holding them two together? The yoke. What are we supposed to do with the Lord? Yoke ourselves up with the Lord. All right, so we are workers together, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Who had their hand up? Josh.
I didn't
okay. Doc Hall.
Lord, in all of his wisdom, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembly. Why? One of the reasons, exhort one another.
That's right. Verse 24, provoking, irritating one another unto love and good works. All right, let's go back to Philippians 2. Josh, I already talked to him.
But I didn't want to go first.
Okay.
Going back to Ecclesiastes 4.
Yes, sir.
I think it was several months ago, we went over this at a meeting. We talked about sharing resources, and we talked more specifically about how children are taught to share their toys when they're little. So connect that back to Timothy. Why was he a fellow laborer? Well, he was taught from his youth. So what's one of the things he was taught from his youth? I would argue if he was taught two are better than one, he was taught that
that's good.
Being a fellow laborer is how to go about life.
That's an excellent point, Josh. Excellent point. Anyone else? Appreciate that. Yes.
John 1:7, right? When we're talking about walk side by side, if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. So, you know, there's power in numbers, right? But it's all dependent on us walking in the light. If we walk in the light, then we have fellowship. Otherwise, we just have fellowship.
That's right. That's right. No fellowship if you're not walking in the light. Yes, ma'am.
When they all went together to go get the water for David, and each of them were mighty on their own, but together.
That's good. Anyone else? Yes.
Just as the church, as the people, we are stronger when we are yoked together. And Gene and I were talking about that on the way home today, how we have such strong relationships here that keep us grounded. Fall back on that no matter. But it also enables us, this is in practical application at this point, and I can experience this more. It also enables me to go out stronger when I do leave, like say when I go out and preach, but I always don't come back home. And knowing who I'm coming back to, and I would suppose as a home, a husband and a wife like this, very faithful.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Excellent point.
A home that doesn't have that is very constrained and stressful. But I always look forward to going home.
Excellent point. You know, this morning I made the point about there are members of the Lord's church here who they're the only Christians in their home, in their family. That's a difficult position to be in. And so here they have this fellowship here, but then when they leave here and go home, they don't have that motivation. Well, okay, what if I get up and it's 9 o'clock and in the morning, Bible class starts at 9:30. I don't have someone to say, hey, let's go. Come on, let's go. And that's why this is such a blessing to have someone in your home that's a member of the Lord's church, faithful, just as dedicated, working side by side. And so our working side by side is not just us brethren here at the local congregation, but husband and wife, brothers and sisters, roommates. We have to do our part in working together. All right? Yes.
The illustration of the yoke, right? So, you know, the yoke is put on the animal so that they can, you know, walk together. But we're told not to be unequally yoked. What fellowship is like having darkness? If two people are pulling in the opposite direction, the yoke is going to put them at a standstill.
Sure.
They have to be walking in the same direction.
You know, that's a great 1 John 1:7 point. You know, if, anyway, thank you. Look at verse number 25. Look at Epaphroditus. Here is a brother in Christ. Must have some type of Roman connection because his name is Roman. And notice what's said by Paul to the church at Philippi concerning this good brother right here. Okay? Number one, he calls him his Adelphos, his brother. Literally one that comes forth from the same womb. All right? What womb is that? The womb of Jesus Christ. Okay? Galatians 3, verse 26. 27, for you're all the sons of God, children of God by faith. Okay? And so, members of the Lord's church, brethren, we're brethren. I think sometimes if we would call each other brother and sister so-and-so, there may be a little bit more intimacy there. Because we are brethren. If we don't keep that in front of us, we might not treat one another as brethren. But notice what he says, fellow worker, right there. Literally, it is a companion in work, that simple. A companion in work. What's a companion? What's a companion? A friend. A friend. Here, Paul calls Epaphroditus, my friend, we work together, my fellow worker. Now, there are some fellow workers in the scriptures that I want us to discuss just for a few seconds. Romans 16 and verse number 3, we see Paul calling some brethren some things like this. Romans 16 and verse number 3. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my what, friends? Where? In Christ Jesus. My fellow workers. Now, y'all know the type of work that Aquila and Priscilla did with Paul. I mean, they were always working together. Tent making, teaching and preaching the gospel, encouraging one another. They were always together. Read it.
Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches.
You can tell a lot about a person if they're willing to lay down their neck for you. Fellow workers. So he calls them fellow workers. They risk their lives for Paul. So ask yourself, is there anyone that I'm willing to risk my life for? I was thinking about that shooting that took place a few years back in Fort Worth. And I was thinking about how that good brother shot that man who was shooting our brethren. That brother was not going to allow anyone from the outside to come and hurt his brethren and they get away with it. I told someone this past week, people can do whatever they want to me, but you start messing with my brethren, another side comes out of me. Another side comes out of me. And I got to check myself real fast. I am my brother's keeper. Royce, I am your keeper. You mess with Royce, you mess with me. Mm-hmm. Why? That's my brother. We're family. I love that man more than I love some of my own blood people. That's true. I'll give my life for that man. Yeah, sure will. Why? That's my brother in Christ. That's amazing. And so I think about what that brother did. He wasn't going to let people come in there and just hurt his brethren. And brethren, we shouldn't let anyone hurt our brethren. Now, what they do to us personally is one thing. What they do to our brethren is something totally different. Well, if I'm looking out for you and you're looking out for me, guess what? Everybody's looked out for. Do we really know what family is? The world that we're living in today, they're losing it. The church, they're known by the love they have, what, friends? One for another. We are brethren, and we ought to look at each other like that. God forbid if we don't, Sister Bonner.
Even the world understands how to look out for their own. I mean, for a father to lay down his life for his son, that's expected. That's nothing special. They would not think that father should do anything else for that son or for that child. The same thing for a spouse. If a husband laid down his life for his wife, that's to be expected. It's nothing special. And I'm not saying that, like, you shouldn't do it. But then for you to lay down your life for your brethren, for a person who is not a blood relative of yours, but is a relative by the blood of Christ, somebody that is an extended family, a grafted in family, that is something special, because it shows that you're not just trying to preserve your own self or your own life or your own family. You're trying to preserve the family of God.
That's right. That's right. Doc Hall.
Going back to Romans there, 1:7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. If they're beloved of God, that's a vertical relationship. We also are to have that horizontal relationship with one another. We each are beloved to one another.
That's right.
When you look at the next part there, called to be saints, called to be holy, then our conduct amongst one another and with one another is to be holy as well.
That's right. Amen. Anyone else? Yes.
I think this concept is portrayed so much in media and entertainment. There's even like a little name for it. It's called found family trope or whatever. And so it's these movies like Fast and the Furious. It's all about family. Like, they say that in that movie a million times. Like, you know, it's family is what's important. And it's, people want that. They watch those movies and they read those books and they see those fun little videos and they're like, I want that. I want to live and die for my family. I want that connection. I want that stuff. And some of us probably watch it too. And they crave that. But we are lucky. We are the luckiest people on the planet because we have that. And we need to take advantage of that and show that love.
That's right. Excellent point. Anyone else? Yes.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. We know that our hope, you know, is the resurrection and being saved by God. But also Paul says, this as well about hope. Our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing. What is our hope or joy?
That's a good point.
Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?
That's right.
You are our glory and joy.
That's right. Us working side by side together. As we leave this building, we go out, we are being the light of the world, we're being an influence, we're living blameless lives, harmless before the people, giving God the glory as one unit. And then we come back and we're refreshed, we're educated, we're encouraged, we're exhorted, and we go out again. And then we come back. And it's just over and over and over again. What a blessing to know we're all working together. But look what he says here. Let me get one more point under that point right there. So we're workers together, but look at 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 9. Jaden, when you get that, read that, please. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 9. Who are we working with, according to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9? Hold on. We're working with God? We're working side by side with Jehovah? We need to keep reminding ourselves of the privilege of working together. And so when we're working together, side by side, brethren, we're yoked up with Jesus Christ because we're learning from him. We're working side by side with God the Father himself. This is spiritual. What a blessing to be on his side, to be on his team. There's no other team that we should want to be a part of from a spiritual perspective, because we're either on the side of the Lord or the side of his adversary. We want to be on the Lord's side. But go to Philippians 2. I want to show you this right here. My brother, fellow worker, but I think this is my favorite one, fellow soldier. Brother Ryan, he just took it to a whole different level right there. And this may be the east side of San Antonio coming out of me. I don't know. but he just goes to a whole different level right here. That literally means an associate in labor and conflicts for the cause of Christ, an associate in Christian toil. Let me read that one more time. An associate in labors, work, and conflicts for the cause of Christ, an associate in Christian toil. Friends, I stopped and I thought about that. Paul said that Epaphroditus went to war with him. We should want faithful brethren warring side by side or back to back with us. Should we not? I was talking to Brother Dendy this morning. And I was thanking him for just standing for the truth. Just thanking him for standing for the truth. Just because others may not see it, nor agree with it. If it's true, it's true. I said, brother, I'll fight with you. I ain't scared to fight with you. People can run our name through the mud. I think sometimes, as God's people, we're so concerned about our reputation that we forget about the truth. Our reputation means nothing if the truth is not upheld. I need to say that one more time. Our reputation means nothing if the truth is not upheld. People might not like the things that we stand for, but brethren, we must fight together. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6 tells us how to fight. It tells us how to fight. Brother Hedick, you mind reading that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. And Royce, get Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10. Six. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. Ten. Yes, sir.
Obedience
is fulfilled. 3 through 6. Start at verse 3. Yes, sir.
Okay. For though we walk in the flesh, we know we do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, putting down strongholds, casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Great job. So when we do our part, verse 6, God says, I'll do my part. But how we fight is not physical. It's spiritual. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. That's what we use, friends. When we're fighting, we use the Word of God. We don't use ad hominem, meaning we're not attacking the person. We're attacking what they are saying. I find it very interesting how people want to attack you because they don't have a defense for what you're saying. Brethren, let that not be us. We're working side by side. We stand on the truth. So what if someone attacks you? Let them attack you. Let them say what they're going to say. Are they attacking the truth? Because if the truth is not being upheld, but I defend my honor, that's no defense at all. But if I defend the truth and it seems like my honor is going down the drain, you did good. Why? Because you're suffering for righteousness' sake. And it's okay to suffer for righteousness' sake. Well, I don't want people to see me that way. Is it true? As long as we're operating in truth. And so we work side by side with the truth in the forefront of the battle. Brother Royce, Ephesians 6, starting at verse number 10.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand this evil day. And having done all, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Thank you. If you have on the armor of God, and I have on the armor of God, and we're back to back or side to side, brethren, we can't lose. We fight together. There's enough backbiting and fighting. Galatians 5:15, Paul would say, beware of that, lest you do what? Devour one another. We don't want to do that. We want to work side by side, side by side. Now, you can make any application you want, whether it's evangelism, edification, whatever application you want to make. You go right ahead, but we still have to be working side by side. And so we work side by side with God. God always operates in truth. We have to do our best to operate in truth. God always does things above board. We need to do things above board. God always is walking in the light. We need to be walking in the light. And so I want us to notice something. In Acts 13 and verse number 1, we have Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. And they're working together. Working together. Soldiers together. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Here, we see that Barnabas and Saul, verse number 25 of the previous chapter, are working together. You keep continue to go down, and this is where Brother Hall makes the point concerning Saul and when he was beaten up. And what did he do? He gets up and he goes and he's preaching. But he had the help. What help did he have? His brethren surrounding him when he gets up and he goes right back to the same place where he was beaten up and preaches. Why would he do that? Because he was working side by side with the Lord. It kind of makes me think about some of the times some of the great men of God have been beaten up in the Lord's church. Not physically, but people just kind of running them down. And they go right back preaching the gospel. I hope, pray, and trust that when my time comes for that, that's what I'll do. Go right back there and preach the gospel. I'm going to run you out of here. No, you can run Bonner out, but you can't run the gospel out. You'll never run the gospel out. That's one thing I love about being a gospel preacher, being God's man. You ought to love it too. If you're God's man, you can't get fired. Just move to a different location. But if you're not doing right, then God fires you. Why? Because you don't deserve it at that time. Yes. Who had the hand up? Leon.
1 Corinthians 9:16.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
You brought up how he said they were fellow workers and then fellow soldiers. And in that Romans 16, he also mentions fellow prisoners.
That's right.
Which is what you're talking about being beat up. I mean, they were willing to go to prison for the cause of Christ too, or to be locked up like Paul was.
That's right.
He was up in prison for the gospel's sake. And there's not that many that are willing to go to that extent.
That's right.
For the truth.
That's right. Yes.
I'm going to point out that people will try to fight the truth that they're feeling. I just don't feel that's the case. So it must not be true. But we're not told to do that. Paul says that if we angel,
that's right.
Preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached you, let him be accursed. So here's these false teachers. We don't just fight it by saying, I don't agree with you, I just don't feel that's right. He says, if they preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you. The only standard given here is the gospel. That's how we are to determine whether someone's a false teacher.
Appreciate that, Zach, because we love our feelings. We do. And we think because we feel it, it has to be right. Well, I feel like my stomach hurts. That don't make you right. Brethren, our feelings ought to be based upon the gospel. It ought to be based upon truth. Time is out letting men and women get away with their feelings as it relates to, is this right? Nobody cares what you think. What does the Bible say? Amen. But we don't think that sometimes. I always tell myself, Mike, God don't care about what you think. What did he say? That's what I tell myself. Michael Light said this one time. He's preaching Bangs. He said, we don't have the privilege to preach what we want. We don't. Paul told Timothy to do what? Preach the word. And so side by side. David and Jonathan, 1 Samuel 18:1, side by side, souls knit together. Brother Mike, I just don't need brethren like that. God did. The Word, the Spirit. The apostles did. Y'all go out two by two. You need each other. It's not even good for man to be alone. He even made him a helpmeet. It's interesting. Yes, Eric.
Say your feelings can get in the
That's a great point.
Because you have to have faith in your brother. Because when it says one spirit, one faith, one hope,
that's
all
right.
All that one is one, and we are one right now sitting here.
That's right. That's right. Paul and Silas were working side by side, even found themselves being beaten and cast into a jail cell in Acts chapter 16 together. Guess what else they did together while they were in jail? Sang and prayed together. You know, them staying together, Brother Ryan, actually helped those who were in prison themselves to see God working through them. And the jailer, he responded because of them not fighting and devouring each other. They're singing and praying together. Brethren, we have to work side by side. I learned that in the area of Philippi in Macedonia, that earthquakes are a common occurrence. So that was not something miraculous. That was a common occurrence in that area. And God uses a common occurrence to demonstrate his power of two men who are dedicated in prayer and singing to bring the jailer to his son. Which means that God can use common occurrences in our lives. If we would just hang in there, stay on the straight and narrow with our brethren, we never know who God is going to bring to Christ because of our perseverance, our suffering. What a blessing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Brother Doc.
Whose house did they go to after they were baptized?
The jailer.
They went to David, and then they went to Lydia.
Yep. And sweet Lydia said, if you consider us to be faithful, lodge with us. Have fellowship with us. I'll end with this. Philippians chapter 4, working together. I love the challenges that the Bible gives us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Philippians 4, 1 through 3. We have 6 minutes. Brother Scott, do you have closing prayer? Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I beg, I implore Euodia. I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are where, friends? So it sounds like these people are faithful. Would you agree with that? I would say that these people are faithful. Their names are written in the book of life. They haven't been blotted out. They're walking side by side with God. They're walking side by side with the Apostle Paul. They're walking side by side with one another. But there's a problem. We have Euodia and Syntyche, and they're not on the same page with one another. Okay? They're not on the same page with one another in the Lord, which I believe is the key to our understanding. And I urge you also, I believe the King James says yoke fellow, correct? The New King James says true companion. Studied that and been thinking about that. And whoever this true companion yoke fella is, the idea behind true, and you look it up yourself, is one who is not a fake. One who is not an imposter. One who is walking side by side, pay attention, brethren, with God. They're not living in pretense. Yoke fellow, the idea of bringing together. And so when I considered this, and I'm like, man, this is interesting. Because when we see brethren not getting along with each other, the true yoke fella, watch this, are going to grab those and bring them together. And y'all get this together. Why? Because we need to be working together. Because if there's schism between us, we are not going to be as strong as we could be. So when you think of husband and wife not getting along with each other, now they need marital counseling. What is that marital counselor doing? They're actually bringing them two together. Well, it's none of my business. But if you're fake, you can watch brethren fight all the time and you won't say nothing. That's their business. No, that's weakness in the church. That's weakness in the home. That's weakness among brethren. You can't work side by side if you're fake and pretense. Have pretense. That's good stuff. The Bible is right. If we're going to work side by side, there can't be any pretense. And Paul, he had to preach, and brethren had pretense, but at least they were preaching Christ, but they still had some fakeness about them. Brethren, let's continue to work side by side, even if we have to get brethren, y'all get this together so we can be stronger. Get this together so we can be whole. Get this together so we can move forward. But for some reason, the world has taught the church that it's all right to have schism and not deal with it. Brother Royce.
I don't recall if we touched on this or not, but I think Ephesians 4, 15 and following, talking about speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. Now listen carefully. From whom the whole body joins together. When we talk about David and Jonathan,
knit together.
We can't get away from that need to be with each other and be working together. And it goes on by saying, according to the effective working by which every part does its share.
That's right.
Or furthermore, causes what? Growth in the body.
Growth in the body.
You've got to have that. And we can't, if we're doing my thing over here, somebody else is doing their thing over here, and we're not working together, we're not side by side, we're not joined together.
That's right. Jesus, by that determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, came to this earth working side by side with his Father, and then them two working side by side to send the Holy Spirit, and then the apostles working side by side with the Father and the Son, and now we work side by side with the apostles, the prophets, the Spirit, the Word, the Son, and the Father. We work side by side with him. What a blessing to work side by side, be fellow soldiers, fellow workers for the cause of Christ. What a blessing. Any final thoughts? Yes.
It's good to know, too, that it causes us to want to do better, want to be better, knowing that we're working side by side with God and with God's people. Whereas you're not working with God if you're upholding something that is untrue,
right,
false, or supporting something that is untrue, whether it be a lifestyle or a doctrine.
That's right.
Either way, if you're supporting it, you're not working together with God or his people.
And that's why it's so beautiful. Where I'm weak, you may be strong. We go side by side together, we fortify each other. A husband and wife, weak in one area, strong in another, but they're married and they're a team. They're a force that cannot be reckoned with. If you think all the strength is in you, it's not going to work. The strength is when we come together. That's where the strength is.